This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and we seek His assistance subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge in Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together in a house from his houses to recite the Quran and to learn from its lessons. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most deserving of the best of all praises. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in a hadith which is sahih, a hadith reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a hadith in Sahih Muslim, and a hadith which deserves to be repeated, especially in gatherings such as these. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ. That there's no group of people that come together in a house from the houses of Allah like this masjid. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, they recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ, and together they study the lessons from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this gathering, our gathering, with four gifts. With four gifts. The first gift, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, except that Allah causes contentment to befall this gathering. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and Allah causes this gathering to be engulfed in Allah's mercy. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the angels to surround this gathering. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this gathering to those that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning you and mentioning me and mentioning us because Allah is proud of us. Mentioning us to His angels subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always be proud of us and cause us to pass away whilst He's proud of us and whilst Jannah is our abode. Ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering one which has not come together except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to make this gathering an act of worship, a beloved gathering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering that hears a good word and follows it, and to make us a gathering that is forgiven upon our departure. Ameen. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, I have been given a tremendous task. The task of speaking about, yes, some lessons from Surah Yusuf, and what will make us understand Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf, a surah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفْ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٍ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, that indeed in Yusuf and his brothers are signs, are lessons, are reminders. For who? For those who just ask. Not for those of understanding فَحَسْبْ, but for those who just ask. And that is why from the ulama of tafsir were those who said that Surah Yusuf is a surah that has more than 1,000 lessons in the surah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We wished that those scholars sat down and cited for us those few thousand lessons. But nonetheless, perhaps it was a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we could sit and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with a process known as tadabbur. This process of reflecting over the ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This process of tadabbur, which is one of the grandest acts of worship and the greatest practices with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By default, and with this introduction, we know that we cannot go through Surah Yusuf in any form of detail. Perhaps this evening we will only share with one another a drop from the drops of the ocean of Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah and blessings in our time. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, perhaps it's no secret to you all that Surah Yusuf is a surah that I've been researching for many years, perhaps since 2006. And it's a surah which Allah has blessed me to teach in its entirety. Sometimes over the course of 20 hours, during a weekend, in many cities in the world. And sometimes during the course of 2 years, with a lesson of 4 hours happening once a week. And so on and so forth. So for me, the dilemma is, which lesson should I share? For those who might have sat through some of my talks previously, dedicated to Surah Yusuf, such as today, or talks pertaining to parenting, or talks pertaining to bonds of kinship, or talks pertaining to education, you would have witnessed in these talks and talks with other topics certain snippets from Surah Yusuf. Certain snippets from Surah Yusuf. So perhaps we might hear something said before. But even if we repeat that said before, then it's worthy of repetition. For this is a new gathering to myself. And it doesn't mean that we live in an age where lectures are recorded and go online, that people have heard these lessons. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire me to share those lessons which are of magnanimous benefit to this community. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, the first lesson one cannot help but share from Surah Yusuf is the lesson of perfect parenting. The lesson of perfect parenting. For Ya'qub alayhi salam was an excellent father. And when we talk of the best of the best, then the name Ya'qub alayhi salam does appear. For Ya'qub alayhi salam, he was the first teacher and the most important nurturer of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And Ya'qub alayhi salam only had less than 7 years with his child. But in those few years with Yusuf alayhi salam, he nurtured him to be an exemplary human being and a worthy citizen to every community he visited and a contributor to every environment that he found him in. This alone should wake us up to the reality of Ya'qub alayhi salam and the parenting skills of Ya'qub alayhi salam. For we are all in need of those skills. Skills of teaching a 7-year-old child and a 6-year-old child and a 5-year-old child the university of life before they enter the jungle. Yes, Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown down the bottom of a well when he was young, around the age of 6 or around the age of 7, as some of the scholars forecast. And today you and I, we face the same dilemma. We are forced to quote unquote throw our children down a well at the age of 6 or at the age of 7 when we send them to school. This jungle or metaphorical jungle that we know of today. The reason why I highlight this, my dear brothers and sisters, is because parenting is the job of the mother and father. Not the job of the educational institute. Not the job of the school that prides itself in teaching contemporary studies. And parenting is not the job of the teacher at the madrasa. It's not the job of the sheikh at the madrasa. Parenting is the job of the mother and father. I know that we live in a day and age of outsourcing. We outsource our marketing. We outsource sometimes our operations. But we can never or should never think that we can outsource parenting. No. For parenting is unique to every parent. And it carries a digital encoding and signature of every parent. Nobody can nurture your child the way you would love your child to be nurtured. No one can give your child universal values the way you envisage and want your child to be given universal values. Only you can be a parent to your child. Unfortunately today, given the life that we live and the environments that we experience, parenting has become something that has taken a back seat in terms of our table of priorities. Our priorities have become this concept of being the breadwinner and putting food on the table and so on and so forth. And we forget that we have a greater role to play, a greater role to play than just being the breadwinner. With some fathers, the parenting role is encapsulated in the mother. And this is incorrect, because parenting refers to both mother and father. Mother and father. Yes, sometimes the situation does not help and the mother has to take on the lion's share of the process. But that doesn't mean that the father should be in a delusion with regards to the micros of, or the macros rather, of parenting. Sometimes, yes, the mother can be the specialist regarding the specifics of parenting and the micros of parenting. But the father should still be aware of the macros, at least understanding what the child has been taught that day. The father should be the father, at least if he is a busy father, that comes home and can ask his beloved wife and the special mother, at least share with me three things which you have taught our child today. Three things from the sciences of life, or three things from matters that pertain to nurturing the nature. For our children are natural, but they require us to nurture them. Yes, O servants of Allah, and yes, O children of Adam, we in our communities are not like what the philosopher said, that we are a product of nurture. Nor are we like what the scientist said, that we are a product of nature. No, we are a product of, quote unquote, nurture the nature. For each and every one of us have a unique self, a unique self. And it's the parent's job to nurture the child, this nature that the child has. That's why I say nurture the nature. Write that down in gold, and that's copyright, by the way. Right? It's the parent's job to nurture this nature, to bring about this unique being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to exist and has a role to play in society. This is the job of the parent. Ya'qub alayhi salam, he epitomizes this concept and ability of bringing about uniqueness in this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His son Yusuf alayhi salam, before Yusuf alayhi salam left his home, in that Yusuf alayhi salam left the home as a young boy, but still managed to become one of the most amazing people this earth has witnessed. This giant, we can say, a giant upon whose shoulders you and I try to walk upon. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. May Allah make us effective parents. So we are a product of our own selves. We do have a core unique self. And if you don't believe me, then look at the best person that walked the face of this earth, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For he sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in an environment of idolatry, lived in an environment of adultery, lived in an environment where people worship their rationale, worship their minds. They would observe the tawaf around the Kaaba naked. Why? Because of some warped rationale that they had. And they would tweak the ways of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because they were slaves to their minds and rationale. And they were shackled. They were shackled with the chains of idolatry. So even though they thought they had rationale, they could not negotiate the aspect of shirk and idolatry. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in this environment. But he sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever drank alcohol. Nor did he ever prostrate to an idol. And even upon the view of the scholars that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Hajj before he became a prophet, they say that he performed the Hajj upon the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And on the day of Arafah, he would stand on the plains of Arafah. Whilst the Quraysh, they tweaked the Hajj. On the day of Arafah, they would stand on the plains of Muzdalifah. Why? Because again, their minds told them that Arafah is a place situated outside of the Haram sanctuary. And Muzdalifah is in the Haram sanctuary. And Arafah is a holy day. So how can we stand in a place that is not as holy as Muzdalifah? So they tweaked the way of Ibrahim in worshipping their rationale and their minds. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did this. In fact, we know that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the cave of Hira and contemplate how to worship Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, that we found you not upon the guidance and we guided you. That is the correct translation. It's not the translation of we found you misguided and guided you. For Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never misguided. Rather, he was not upon complete guidance, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never knew how to worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, teaching him how to worship Allah. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا, we found you not upon complete guidance. You used to spend time and days and weeks in Hira, thinking how to worship Allah. You didn't know how to, فَهَدَى, and we guided you and taught you how Allah wants to be worshipped. So you became perfect in your worship of Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. So here we have a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was not a product of nature, nor was he product of nurture. He was a product of his core self, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, he was strange. And today we have to be strange if we want to be true to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's nothing wrong in being strange. And when I say strange, I mean the correct strange. There's nothing wrong in being strange in a halal way. For Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى, glad tidings to the strange ones. Glad tidings to the ones who fast when everyone else eats, and stands the night in prayer when everyone else sleeps, and might keep a beard when that's not common in society, and might dress appropriately when society looks down upon that dress, as long as you are upon that which is considered الصراط المستقيم, the straight path, then that strange is a praiseworthy strange. And glad tidings to the strange ones. May Allah make us from amongst those that practice the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. So, Yaqub alayhi salam, what was his secret? How did he manage to nurture a man that would be the ease of Egypt and be the ease of Palestine, two of the greatest civilizations the world has ever experienced? What was his secret? His secret, brothers and sisters, was being a proactive father. In the ayat that I recited at the opening of this talk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Yusuf with action. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِيهِ. How does Allah start the story? When Yusuf said to his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't start it with once upon a time in a distant land. In a desert land, they lived a boy, and his name was Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is why the Quranic stories are the best of all stories, because everything cited has a high impact presence in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started it with that of magnanimous benefit. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِي, when Yusuf said to his father, when Yusuf said to his father, oh my dear father, indeed I see in my dream the sun and the moon and 11 stars prostrating to me. Yusuf alayhi salam saw this dream. Yusuf alayhi salam, a young boy, was confused. Then what does this mean? What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is lesson number one, opens the story by saying, it's as if Allah said subhanahu wa ta'ala, A boy that went to his father whenever he had a dilemma. For those who ponder, no child goes to a person when there's no prior relationship. The fact that Yusuf thought of his father before his oldest brother, before his 11 other brothers, Allahu Akbar. The fact that he thought of his father before the guidance teacher at school or the next door neighbor. The fact that he thought about his father as a reference and point of return from the outset after experiencing this dilemma is a lesson to you and I that Yaqub alayhi salam was a proactive father with his son Yusuf. It wasn't the case that he had 11 children. And yeah, we've seen one, we've seen all of them. So it's the qadr of Allah, he's number 12. You know, they say when you have the first child, it's exciting. Then the second one, yeah, it's exciting, not as much as the first. And then the third one, yeah, it's there. But after three, they're all the same. Have you heard that statement? After three, khalas, it's all the same. La, la. And imagine how old Yaqub alayhi salam was. The fact that Yusuf, a young boy, decides to go to his father teaches us that Yaqub was playing with him. That Yaqub alayhi salam was teaching him. That Yaqub alayhi salam was talking to him. That Yaqub alayhi salam was his hero. If you ask Yusuf, who is your hero? He would say, my father. Why? Because my father teaches me the university of life. He's taught me things which I'll never read in books. He's taught me through experience. May Allah preserve him. That's what Yusuf alayhi salam probably would have said. Thus he goes to his father knowing he would get a trustworthy answer. So that's the first lesson. Allah starts off the story by saying, in effect, quote unquote, have a proactive relationship with your children. That's how the story starts. For your children won't come to you unless you have a relationship with them. And then Yusuf relays the dream. And Yaqub alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yaqub alayhi salam was a man of knowledge for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. He understood this dream. He understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something special for my son. And that my son is going to go through a special journey before he achieves his special rank and precedence and honor and status. So Yaqub alayhi salam advises his son, as he always used to do. It wasn't a case where he said, sun and moon and 11 stars prostrating, why are you busying me with fairy tales? Can you not see I'm busy? Can you not see I'm on a call? Can you not see I'm in a meeting? Talk to me when I come back from work. Did he say this? No. No. And this is one of the fundamental flaws that parents have, especially fathers. That you might be on a call and your child might come and say, Dad, Dad, I've seen a butterfly. And we'll say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Can you not see I'm on a call? Hadakallah. May Allah guide you. Wait till I'm finished. But by then, my dear father, the butterfly has flown away. If you just took a moment of absence from your call and excused yourself for a few minutes from the person on your call and said, my dear son, where? Subhanallah, there. What color is the butterfly? How many eyes does it have? How many legs does it have? Can you find other butterflies? By Allah, the relationship and rapport you've struck with your child is one that can never be experienced after. And the lessons you've shown your child, you have magnified his learning ability from just seeing a butterfly. You've taken the lesson into colors. What are the colors of the butterfly? You've taken the lesson into counting. How many eyes does it have? How many legs does it have? Can you see its legs? Look what you've done for your child. You've given your child a lesson that no teacher in your child's life can give. Subhanallah. Yaqub alayhi salam entertains his child and he listens to this dream and now he advises his child. He advises his child. Lesson number two, never leave today's lesson for tomorrow. Yaqub alayhi salam knew my time with my child is limited. No matter how busy I am, now is the time to teach him something. I have to tell him this piece of information now. Now and now. This is lesson number two in being a proactive parent. Yaqub turns to his child and says, Ya Bunay, Oh my dear son, لا تقصص رؤياك. Do not reveal this dream to your brothers. على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا, lest they shall plot against you. سبحان ربي الأعلى. To a 6-year-old boy, 5-year-old boy, 7-year-old boy, what are you saying to your father? Today, would we have the guts to tell our child this? Absolutely not. We would sit back and say, he's too small to know these things, protect him. Don't tell him anything. Shh. This is our attitude. How many times do we discuss with our wives, or wives discuss with their husbands? This is not for them to know, doesn't matter. No. No, my dear fathers. No, my dear mothers. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last. Who can be a better teacher than you? Yaqub alayhi salam doesn't know when Yusuf alayhi salam is going to be ripped from his hands. So he immediately advises him. He trusts his child. He respects the mind of his child. The worst thing you can do is disrespect the intellect of your child by saying, my child is too young to know. My child does not understand. That is you disrespecting the intellect. By Allah, they understand. The brain that Allah gave them is amazing. Haven't you seen a child learn multiple languages at such a young age? The father speaks an Asian language. The mother speaks an English language. The grandparents speak a third language. And this child grows up understanding all three. Where did he learn this from? Using that mind that you thought did not understand. So Yaqub told his son. And Yaqub knew that my son, or before we get to that, look at how Yaqub tells his son. Ya Bunay, oh my dear son, oh my dear son. Look at the beautiful speech. Oh my dear son. How many of us call our sons by the most beautiful of names? Allahu Akbar. Some of us have names for our children, we cannot mention them in this masjid. Oh my dear son. And look how it was reciprocated. Because when Yusuf went to his father, he said, oh my dear father, ya abati. The scholars of the Arabic language say, the softest way of calling your parents is by saying, ya abati. There's 10 ways of calling your parents in the Arabic language. The softest of the 10 being, ya abati. Allahu Akbar. And this was the way of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. They always said, ya abati. Oh my dear father. Because his father used to say, oh my dear son. Today the father in the home and the mother in the home demand respect. Respect me. But we need to understand that we are dealing with a human being. We are dealing with emotion. And respect is earned. Respect is not a right. It's something that is earned. It's something that is earned. So he tells his dear son, do not tell your brothers. This is a parenting skill which 99% of this masjid are professionals in. MashaAllah. Not so? Do and don't do. Aren't we professionals in this? Yes. Yes, we have PhD degrees in do and don't do. Do as I say and not as I do. Do what I'm telling you or else. Do not ask me why, just do it. Don't let me come home without you having done that. We never ever explain our command. We are army generals. Do and don't do. If'al wa la taf'al. This is what we are professionals in. Yaqub alayhi salam, he was good at it as well. But he was better than us. Why? He would explain the command. Do not tell your dream to your brothers, lest they plot against you. Lest they plot against you. Subhanallah. He explained to his son. His son now understands why my father is telling me not to tell my brothers. But Yusuf alayhi salam is a young boy. Why is my father telling me to be afraid of my brothers, my protectors, my blood? Yaqub alayhi salam anticipated this already. He knew that this young boy, this young lad, he's going to have this question in him. He's a young boy. He's going to feel scared. He's going to be confused. These people are my protectors. Why are you saying, my dear father, don't tell them the dream? When my dear father, you've brought me up to respect them. Why are you telling me not to tell them this dream? Yaqub alayhi salam gives him tawjih and guidance and says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. That my dear son, even if they plot against you, it's not them, my dear son. It's not them. It's Shaytan. It's Shaytan. Look at this. Look at this. By Allah, how old is this boy? Less than 7. Less than 7, inshaAllah. As per the estimates of some of the scholars of tafsir. Lest they shall plot against you because of Shaytan, not because of them. Shaytan is a clear enemy. O servants of Allah, how many times have we told our children that Shaytan is a clear enemy? That there is a Shaytan and we should be wary of him. And that he made a promise to Allah to take us astray. And that we should be diligent with regards to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have told our children, and I'm not talking about a toddler, I'm not talking about a 10-year-old infant, I'm talking about our teenagers. How many of us have said, my dear child, we need to have a discussion about Shaytan. This is the reality about Shaytan. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Shaytan. This is how we protect ourselves from Shaytan. May Allah protect us from Shaytan. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. So, he taught his son. And then, Yaqub alayhi salam, he knows, I'm not going to have much time with my child. My child is going to spend the most crucial years of his life outside of this house. I don't know where, but the most important years of his life is going to be outside of this house. Which are the more crucial years of our child? 10, 11, 12, and then the dreaded 13, the teens, right? When their bodies change and their hormones change and they are heavily impacted by their environments. Yaqub knew, subhanallah, I'm not going to be with my child during the most progressive years of his life. I have to teach him now. So Yaqub alayhi salam turns to his son. As being a sincere father, he says immediately to his dear son, وَكَذَٰلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم. He gives his child advice that should be considered the grandest advice any father could give his child in history. He gives his child the tools of becoming the best one can be, even if they grow up outside of the house of their father. He says to his child, my dear son, let me teach you something right now. I know you fear about what I've told you about your brothers, and there's more to come. But let me tell you, my dear son, that everything you're going to go through, my dear son, this is all about how Allah has chosen you. And this is all about how Allah is going to make you a prophet and teach you the interpretation of dreams and teach you the revelation. And this is all about Allah completing His favor upon you and completing His favor on the family of Yaqub because you are my son. As Allah completed His favor upon your grandfathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq. This is what He tells His child. And then He teaches his child about Allah. And he says, my dear child, you know your Rabb Allah? He is Alim. He is knowledgeable. And is Hakim. He is wise. He teaches Yusuf alayhi salam about Allah. So that Yusuf alayhi salam never denies Allah. Wallahi, this was amazing. This was amazing. What was he telling his son? He was telling his son that, my dear son, when you are abducted from the home of your father and you are thrown down the bottom of a well and your shirt is ripped off you and you think no one knows that you're there and you think that you are alone, know that your Rabb is Alim. Allah knows that you're there. And know that your Rabb is Hakim, Allah is wise as to why you're there. And when, my dear son, you are taken out of the world by strangers and transported out of Palestine to Egypt, to a foreign land, and you're scared and you think you're by yourself and nobody knows your plight and your father doesn't know where you are. Yes, people don't know where you are. But understand, my son, you are not alone. No, my dear son, for your Rabb is Alim. He is knowledgeable as to where you are. And your Rabb is Hakim. He's wise as to why you're there. And my dear son, when you are bought by a rich man, by an affluent man, and you are caused to grow up in a home of adultery, in a home of shirk, in a home of no manners, no morals, no etiquettes, and you think nobody knows that you're there, make sure you remain guided, my son. For your Rabb is Alim. He is knowledgeable as to where you are. And your Rabb is Hakim. He's wise as to why you're there. And when you are locked up in the room with a beautiful affluent woman, and the doors are bolted shut, and the windows are bolted shut, and you think no one knows that you're there, and you are being called to adultery whilst you are a grown man of desire, understand, my dear son, that your Rabb is Alim. Your Rabb knows that you're there. And your Rabb is Hakim. He's wise as to why you're there. And when you are thrown into prison, when you are totally innocent, and the key is thrown away, and nobody knows about your plight, nobody knows about your plight, don't worry, my dear son, for your Rabb is Alim. Your Rabb is knowledgeable as to where you are. And your Rabb is Hakim. He's wise as to why you're there. Allahu Akbar. Thus we have Yusuf alayhi salam going through his teens in this bad environment, and then experiencing his 20s in this bad environment, and his 30s in this bad environment. And when he reaches 40, or just after 40, he is tested by being placed in a room with an affluent female who calls him to her. Allahu Akbar. You ask any man of desire, what is the ideal scenario? Here is the ideal scenario. And this boy who never heard the word Allah throughout his teens and his 20s and his 30s and now he's 40. The first thing he utters in that environment when she calls him to her is Ma'ad Allah. I seek protection from Allah. I seek protection from my Rabb. According to one of the view of the scholars of tafsir. Subhanallah. This term Rabb was on his tongue. This term Rabb was in his heart. This term Rabb was in his mind. And that his Rabb is Alim and knowledgeable as to where he is. And that his Rabb is Hakim as to why he's there. Who taught him that? Who taught him that? His father Yaqub alayhi salam, when? 30 something years ago. When you and I would say, our child is too young to understand. Proactive parenting. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wallahi, there's so much to say about parenting from Surah Yusuf. We've spent almost 45 minutes just looking at the parenting aspect of Surah Yusuf. May Allah make us worthy parents. And may Allah forgive us for the lack of diligence we've exercised with our children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those parents that benefit from our children when we pass away. Yes, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنَ آدَمْ, when the son of Adam dies, إِنْ قَطَعْ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ, all his avenues of earning rewards are cut except for three. صَدَقَةُ الْجَارِيَةِ, continuous charity. Or ilmun yuntafa bih, or beneficial knowledge which this person taught and people practiced and taught it to others. Allah will allow you to earn the rewards from these practices. Or a waladun salihun yad'u lah, or a pious child left behind who makes dua for his parents. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Oh my Lord, have mercy on my parents, for they nurtured me when I was young. The dua of this pious child that a parent leaves behind benefits the parents in the grave. Allah causes it to become rewards and an act of worship for these parents, that they may meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah and see multitudes of ibadah. And when they say, Ya Allah, are these our deeds? We didn't perform these deeds. And Allah will say, it is your deeds. These are your deeds. And it is a result of that pious child which you left behind after you. May Allah make us diligent parents. Ameen. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, from the lessons of Surah Yusuf is the lesson of being forgiving. Of being forgiving. Or just before that, we know that Yaqub alayhi salam advised his son and said, who is to blame if your brothers plot against you? He said, Shaytan. At the end of Surah Yusuf, when Yusuf is in his 50s, or perhaps close to 60, wallahu a'lam, and he's finally united with his family, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yusuf alayhi salam says,
وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِّمَا يَشَاءُ.
الله أكبر. Yusuf alayhi salam at the end of the story says, and Allah was good to me when? When Allah took me out of the prison. After shaitan caused enmity between me and my brothers. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The lesson which his father taught him decades ago, when he finally meets his family for the first time, they are united in front of his mother and father and brothers. He praises Allah and he reminds his father, who's now a very old man, of the lesson his father taught him decades ago, and says, after shaitan caused enmity between me and my brothers. Surah Yusuf is ajeeb, sarahat. It's amazing surah. The story is so complete, the best of all stories by Allah. As stated, brothers and sisters, we learn from Surah Yusuf the importance of forgiveness and forgiving others. For Ya'qub alayhi salam in the story forgave his children. And Yusuf alayhi salam forgave his brothers, even though they wronged him. But Yusuf alayhi salam was such a beautiful person. He never ever wanted anyone to feel like they were in a lower position than his. He was the minister of finance of Egypt. These brothers came from a faraway land to get provision. He could have laid the law on them for what they did to him. But the moment it was established that he was Yusuf, and he saw in his brothers' regret, immediately he says, no, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No blame upon you. يغفر الله لكم. Allah will forgive you. وهو أرحم الراحمين. Subhanallah, look at the character of this boy. Look at the character of this man. When he forgave his brothers, wasn't that mercy? Was that not mercy, brothers and sisters? Yes or no? Yes. Yes. But what does he say? He says, Allah will forgive you. I've shown mercy to you. But Allah is the most merciful out of all those who could show mercy. Allahu Akbar. That you think I am merciful, Allah is even more merciful. Allah is the most merciful. Subhanallah. He was attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though he grew up in a home of shirk, he was attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he never denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when exposing his good qualities. He goes, if you think I'm good, don't look at me, don't praise me, for my Rabb is better. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. May Allah make us these humble people, attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. He forgave his brothers. But I want to focus on the perfection of his forgiveness. For Yusuf alayhi salam in the ayat that I just recited, where he's exclaiming how Allah was good to him, after shaitan caused enmity between him and his brothers, he says alayhi salam that Allah was good to me when? when Allah took me out of the prison. What was more difficult for Yusuf? Being in the prison or being in the well? What do you think? The well, of course. He chose to go to prison over adultery. And he was much older. When he was thrown into the well, he was a young boy. Why didn't he say, Allah was good to me when Allah took me out of the well? Because he was perfect in his forgiving. That he forgave his brothers and he forgot what they did. He just said, there's no blame upon you. And Allah will forgive you. And Allah is the most merciful. Why now should he remind his brothers of the mistake they did a long time ago when he forgave them anyway? He didn't want to mention it. He was perfect in his forgiving. And said, Allah was good to me when? When Allah took me out of the prison. Allahu Akbar. Look at the Quran and the amazing lessons in the Quran for those who ponder. If you practice tadabbur, you will extract lessons which are indeed magnanimous. Subhanallah. Allah, in telling us what Yusuf said, for those who ponder, is teaching us how to be amazing people when we forgive others. How many a time have we forgiven a person who's wronged us, but after a few months, maybe on the dinner table, we say, remember that time when you did that? We're only joking about it now, it's okay. No. Yusuf alayhi salam says no. It's forgiven, that's the end of it. We need to learn to forgive others, my dear brothers and sisters. Yusuf was wronged in a great way. But he knew Shaytan was to blame. We need to adopt the quality of Yusuf alayhi salam with each other, my dear brothers and sisters. We're discussing the lessons from Surah Yusuf. I thought I would only manage one lesson, but time permits just another. We need to learn how to be forgiving to one another for the sake of Allah. And how to understand that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we forgive one another. It's not about my ego and your ego. It's about what's more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam had every right to be upset. Every right to redeem himself. We would have called him just had he locked his brothers up for the crime that they did. We would have said this is justice. But subhanallah, he forgave them, and not only forgave them, he chose to forget the past and be with them as if the past never happened. Allahu Akbar. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, how many family members do we not speak to? How many Eids have come and gone and we haven't visited certain families that we're supposed to be spending Eid with? How many years have come and gone that we haven't said salam to a Muslim brother, whether he's our relative or not? How many people have gone for Hajj and Umrah and we've ceased to visit them before they leave and after they come back? Why? Why? Because of some petty reason. Until when are we going to dress with the dress of pettiness and perhaps some cultures? And when are we going to dress with the dress of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam? Look at Yusuf alayhi salam forgiving his brothers. I said this during my tour of Sri Lanka. They gave me a title called the bonds of kinship. And I said to them, I said, today we have a colossal problem of pettiness. Yes, yes. Why didn't you make salam to him? Well, he doesn't make salam to me. If he visited me, or if he visits me when I come back from Hajj, I will visit him. If he calls me on Eid day, I will call him. Hey brother, why didn't you visit this brother? Well, why didn't he visit me? Go ask him. That exists, isn't it? Subhanallah. His daughter's getting married. He had a walima. He didn't invite me. Wait. I have three daughters. Yeah, it's a common statement. Allahul Musta'an. Allahul Musta'an. This wasn't the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to Ta'if for their own goodness and they stoned him out of Ta'if. And when the most difficult moment in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained to Allah the weakness of his abilities on that day. The Quraysh troubled him. They threw sand on him. He decided, let me go to Taif. Allah has tasked me with this da'wah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was difficult for him. He was a human being, don't forget. Allah says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. Perhaps you're going to kill yourself because they reject your message. He wanted to be perfect to Allah and submit the message of Allah. For him, a person accepting the message of Allah was the most amazing thing for him because it was pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was hard on himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah told him, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Don't kill yourself over this, over the rejection of your message. He would be sad. So he went to Taif thinking, maybe I can please Allah there. And he was always pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they stoned him out of that city. And Allah now presented him with an opportunity. The opportunity of allowing the two mountains that surround Taif to come together and crush these people therein. And what did Rahmatul Lil Alameen say? What did the mercy to the world say? That no. They did not understand, perhaps their progeny will understand. Subhanallah. There was no tit for tat. There was no my ego and your ego. There was no now I'm going to fix you kind of mentality. Absolutely not. This was the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the way of the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Look at Yaqub alayhi salam. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Forgiveness and forgiving others. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, it is enough for us. It is enough for us to understand how noble it is to forgive others when we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. If Allah has chosen it as a beautiful quality of His and a beautiful name of His subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the most forgiving, the most merciful, isn't that enough for us to understand how noble this quality is and how it should exist in our lives? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Indeed, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And Allah is most elevated in His ability to forgive and be merciful. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is afuwun qadir. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Allah forgives us when He is capable over us. Allahu Akbar. It's not a case where we're in a state of weakness. We have no way to take our haqq from this person who's taken it away from us, so we choose to forgive. There's nothing we can do. Let's let it go. And let's move on with our lives. No. Allah forgives us when He's qadir and capable over us. Allahu Akbar. Allah is so perfect in forgiving us. My dear brothers and sisters. وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. Allah says that if Allah was to hold us accountable for our mistakes, nothing would tread the face of this earth. Because of our mistakes and us being taken into account, the animals would be destroyed. The insects would be destroyed. No plants, no trees could grow. If Allah took us to account, nothing would exist on the face of this earth. We know how weak we are in front of Allah. Even our worship, we know how weak the worship is, let alone not worshipping Allah. Our worship is also weak. We are weak in our birr and respect to our parents. We are weak with regards to maintaining the bonds of kinship. We are weak with regards to our neighbors. We are weak with regards to the rights of Allah and the rights of the ibad. We are weak with regards to the purification of our own selves. If Allah held us accountable, like how we want to hold other people accountable for every little kabir and saghir, every little minor or major mistake, if Allah was with us like that, what would exist on the face of this earth? From the lessons of Surah Yusuf, my dear brothers and sisters, is to forgive. Forgive others for the sake of Allah and be perfect in your forgiveness. And forgive them as many times as you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. This is it. When shaitan whispers to you ego, when shaitan whispers to you ego, remind yourself of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was the minister of finance, equivalent to a king in his position. In terms of finance, he was the ultimate person that made decisions. At that position of authority, he humbled himself and forgave them and said, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. You are my brothers. Shaitan causes this. This life is short. I have my own weaknesses. I need Allah to forgive me. Let me show some mercy. And perhaps the most merciful will be merciful upon me. This is how we need to think, brothers and sisters. These two lessons. Lesson number one, being the best parent. Nurturing the ummah of tomorrow. Nurturing the ummah of today and tomorrow, definitely. Our children have a part to play today. And perhaps you can see more and learn more about this concept of parenting from my other talks that are online. May Allah inspire you and grant you time to listen to those. Let us nurture the ummah of today and tomorrow. And let us be exemplary with one another. Starting with the bonds of kinship. Starting with our relatives. Don't let another Eid go before you mend your relationship with someone you have to have a mended relationship with. Don't let another second go. No. From now, make it a resolve for the sake of Allah that there's a Muslim brother in the community I'm not speaking to. I am going to phone him and make salam. I won't dive into the nitty-gritties of the past, but I'm going to make salam and ask how he's doing. And excuse myself for not phoning him for all these months or years. And let him know that very soon you're going to invite him to your home for dinner. Do it for the sake of Allah. Perhaps Allah will make that one act, your act, your act, that will be your Jannah when you meet him on the day of Qiyamah. By Allah, we won't enter Jannah because of our deeds. We will enter Jannah because of the mercy of Allah. Perhaps this one act will be that act worthy of us earning this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, again you might have heard me speak, or other speakers speak, about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When he was upset with Misbah, his relative, his poor relative, that he used to spend on. He used to spend on. When Misbah took the side of those who accused his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha of committing a mistake. Misbah made a mistake. He made a mistake. But Abu Bakr, after Allah cleared Aisha radiallahu anha of the rumors that were going around Medina about her, Abu Bakr became upset as any father would. That this is my daughter, you are my family member, I spend on you. If there was any side you were going to take, it should have been my side. He had a right to be upset with Misbah. He had every right to be upset with this family member of his. And he took a qasam never to spend on him again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat. Subhanallah. Quran came down when Abu Bakr promised not to spend on his family member again. Allah revealed ayat. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَ. That it's not befitting for a man of honor, Abu Bakr. It's not befitting for you, O Abu Bakr. وَالسَّعَ. A man of financial standing and material well-being. You who has been given glad tidings of Jannah whilst you in the dunya. Subhanallah. It's not befitting for you to take a qasam. Not to spend on your relatives, ulil qurba, wal masakeen, and the poor, meaning Misbah, wal muhajireen fi sabilillah, and those who accepted Islam in Mecca and migrated with you to Medina. All this is describing Misbah. It wasn't befitting for you, Abu Bakr, to make this qasam. What does Allah say to Abu Bakr? When Abu Bakr is right, he had every right, the haqq is with him. Allah says to him, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Subhanallah. Allah commands him. This is a command, it's not an advice. Allah says, forgive and pardon him. Forgive and pardon him. Yes, you're right, but forgive and pardon him. This is the way of the people of honor. Allah tells Abu Bakr, a man who knew his place in Jannah before he passed away. Allah said, Ala. تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Subhanallah. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Do you not love for Allah to forgive you, O Abu Bakr? Allah says, do you not love for Allah to forgive you? You're refusing to forgive Him. Do you not love for Allah to forgive you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ And Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. This is the message, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the message. May Allah grant us the understanding. Forgive others. Forgive others, especially when you are right. And if you tell me how many times? How many times? Until when? I say, as many times as you want Allah to forgive you. As many times as you want Allah to forgive you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the sitting from us. I wish we could share much more, much more. There's many lessons we have in Surah Yusuf. Many lessons. Perhaps one day we will be inspired to come sit a whole day and learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our worship, accept our sitting. And once again, may Allah make us a gathering that hears a good word and follows it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid al-Qahhar, الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد سبحانه وتعالى. May he cause us to die whilst he's pleased with us, and may he grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah, and may Allah gather us underneath his arsh on the day of Qiyamah as he has gathered us here today in this masjid, and may Allah grant us our book of deeds in our right hands, and may Allah grant us Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and cause us to meet Yusuf alayhi salam, so we can tell him how we sat one wonderful evening in Melbourne, Australia, during one point in our lives, to learn from the wonderful lessons in or from the life of Yusuf alayhi salam that was a means of great change in our lives. Ameen, ameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and protection. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.